So today, we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture for many of us who have probably heard this story before of Mary and Martha. And we're going to look a little bit about these two who are sisters. And you're going to see that the sisters don't necessarily fully get along in this story. And I think many of us probably can relate to this at some point for those who have siblings. Maybe you have a brother or sister that doesn't always do what you want them to do, or maybe you don't always get along, or maybe you have a pretty good relationship. But you're going to see in this story where one of the sisters get upset with the other. And it just reminds me of my relationship with my sister. I feel like we have had our good days and our bad days. Whenever I was younger, she would decide some days that she really liked her younger brother and other days that she wished that she had a sister. But it was funny because she was even telling my mom whenever, you know, she was pregnant, when she was having, how excited she was to have the brother. And she would play with me some days and then she would let me come in her room and we would hang out for hours. But then there would be other days that her friends would come over. And whenever her friends would come over, she was too cool for Zach to come in the room. So then I would come in trying to still play with my sister and hang out with her friends now. And then she would immediately be calling for mom. He's in here again. And then I would be having to get kicked out and I'd be so upset. But I'm sure that all of us have some different stories that we could share about our siblings. But the main thing is that we all understand that whenever you're in relationships with your brothers, your sisters, family, friends, there are just certain times that you are going to get upset with them. And whether it's right or not, that's just the fact of life. And we're going to see in this story that there's certain things that we can learn from how we react and whether or not these things that we are getting angry or upset about are justified. Because sometimes we'll see that being angry or upset with someone is not always justified. And we're going to see that today. So if you'd like to turn with me, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 10. It's going to be verses 38 to 42. And it says this. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So just to give you a little bit of context and summary of the story, you have Jesus and his disciples, right? They're traveling. They go into this certain village in the text, it says. And if you were to look at some of the other gospel accounts, you'd find out that they are in the village of Bethany. And they are going, and then Martha sees Jesus and his disciples, and she says, "Jesus, I want to have you into my home. So I'm going to have a dinner party, I'm going to host you, and you're going to come." And so Jesus, he agrees, and he's going to come, and he's going to visit them. And Martha and Mary presumably live together. And so Jesus now is coming to this dinner party, right? And then in the dinner party, we see that Martha is serving and getting things ready to go. But then Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him teach and speak. And then all of a sudden, Martha sees her sister and she basically goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, tell my sister to get up and help me clean and cook and do all these things." And then Jesus responds and he says, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried about many things, but only one thing matters," basically. And so what we see then from this story, the first thing that I want to draw our attention to is this. It's that when we look, we see that Martha was distracted. See, Jesus was coming over for dinner. Now, I think many of us probably can sympathize and empathize here with Martha, especially if you're a homeowner. maybe some of the women specifically, if you've ever had to prepare a meal for a special guest or making sure that you have someone coming to see your home maybe for the very first time, you're going to make sure that place is super clean, right? You're going to be cleaning all day. You're going to be organizing. You're going to be even cleaning the closets that no one's even going to be in your closets. But for some reason, you got to clean the closets because the visitors are coming over, right? There's all of these things. And it says in the text, it says that through this, as Jesus comes into the home, that Martha gets so caught up with all of this, with the cooking, the cleaning, and the serving. And it says that her busyness led to her being distracted. So Jesus was in the home, and she was serving and doing all these things, but she became distracted. And I wonder to myself, how many of us, though this is a simple story, right? There's not anything that's super crazy. There's not a miracle or anything that happens in the story. It's just a regular day event in which they're inviting someone over to their house, but they let the busyness of life and they let distractions start to hinder themselves. And I wonder how many of us allow the busyness of life or let certain distractions start to distract us from the things that ultimately and truly matter. And what I think is interesting about this story is that there are good things that can become distractions. See, Martha wasn't doing some horrible thing. She wasn't trying to be deceitful or evil. What she was doing was serving. Think about that. She was serving Jesus. But there's still a rebuke here. So that means that you can have good things in your life, but you can continue to allow it to make yourself so busy, or you become so distracted even with the good things, that it actually is a bad thing. So good thing can become a bad thing in the proper context. And I think of it like this. Entertainment. Right? All these platforms right now that you can watch, all these different streaming services, right? That's not a bad thing. That actually can be a good thing. You can be entertained. You can fellowship with others and watch a show. You can learn a good moral lesson potentially from the show. But what do a lot of us allow us to do with it? There's the famous binge watching, right? That would be allowing a good thing to become a distraction. Think about it like this. We have social media. Social media's primary purpose is to connect us, to give us news about people's lives and other things that are going on in the world. That's a good thing. But I would say that many of us have allowed this good thing of social media to become a distraction, in which you can keep yourself from doing many things because you get so caught up with it. And I think that we can just fill in the blank with so many different things with the busyness of life. Even think about this, your own work. Your job can actually become busyness or a distraction from what ultimately matters. Or for those who are in sports, sometimes sports can become the most important thing in a kid's life or a student's life, but they can actually become a distraction from what ultimately matters. So we see there are just so many things, there are numerous things that we can point to that point to the fact that if you allow these things to become distractions and you allow yourself to become overly busy, it can hinder yourself spiritually. Because we see in verse 41, it says this. See, Martha was busy and she was distracted. And what did it lead to? It says, Martha, you are worried and troubled. See, sometimes simple is best. We can get so caught up with so many things in this world, especially in our country, where everyone's always going, there's always a time limit, a time crunch, deadlines, all of these things. We can get so caught up with all of it. But then we can result and lead to what happened with Martha here. She's getting upset, and she starts crying out to Christ, telling him to do something about it, telling him to get his sister up and to help her. And I wonder how many of us allow these distractions, allow ourselves to get so busy, going all the time, if we allow it to make us worried or troubled. Sometimes we need to really slow down in our lives. That's what's so good about a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening when we can come together and we just slow down. We just take some time to be with one another, to pray, to engage God's word. Sometimes we just need to slow it down, because if we don't, we're going to do exactly what happens here with Martha, in which she allows these distractions, allows the busyness to lead to worry, lead to trouble, and ultimately this distraction hinders her relationships. See, the distractions hindered her relationship with her sister, right? As I pointed out, how little Zach was good just hanging out with his sister, and all of a sudden something came along and she got rid of me, right? That's not what's happening here. We're seeing that there is this the sister Mary who is hanging out with Jesus. And we see this other sister just getting just frustrated with her. And she allows it to the point where she starts complaining about her and telling her what she needs to do. And I just think to myself, how many times do we allow our distractions and our busyness to allow it to affect our relationships with others? If someone is asking you to spend some time with them, maybe they need you, but you're too busy to be there for them. There's so many things that we can do and so many things we can fill our schedules with that we don't allow ourselves to have a genuine relationship with one another, where our relationships should be more fundamental than anything else, whether it's our job, our sports, our extracurriculars, our hobbies, our entertainment, anything. We cannot allow it to be a distraction from what matters the most. But we also see that there's a separation and a hindrance in the relationship between Martha and Jesus. See, Martha is exclaiming and telling Jesus to do something that he isn't going to do. He's telling Jesus what to do and complaining about her sister to him. And I just wonder how many of us can allow certain things in our lives, certain concerns about what our brothers and our sisters in Christ are doing, that we start to complain to the Lord or just complain to maybe one of our other brothers and sisters about them. And we think, why are they doing this? They should be doing this instead of this. And we get so overly concerned about everything else that's going on that we forget what's happening to ourselves. So I think that we need to learn from Martha's distractions. We need to do our best to eliminate distractions in our lives. And we need to engage then in more devotion. So we want to eliminate distraction and we want to engage in devotion with Christ. So that's what we see with Martha. But then we see the other sister, we see Mary. See, Mary chose the good part. That's what Jesus says. And this is in the midst of Jesus gently rebuking Martha. And I just love the way that Jesus responds. See, you see Martha probably getting so frustrated, and I'm sure many of us have probably felt this way before if you've ever hosted, right? Where you feel like you're doing everything and everyone's just sitting there having a good time and you just get so frustrated and say, I just wish everyone come clean and help me and do all this stuff, right? I see some people smirking in the audience. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's someone you know, right? I'm sure that we all recognize this, or maybe this person, or maybe it's you, like I said, that this has happened before. But that's what Martha's doing. But then Jesus, he rebukes her. Now it's gentle though. And I just love it the way he says it. He says, Martha, Martha. He says it twice. Right? Sometimes you just got to say their name a couple times. Martha, Martha, just calm down. You are worried and troubled about many things. All this cooking and cleaning and serving and everything else that your sister's doing. You're caught up with so much. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. See, Jesus was explaining to Martha that Mary had chosen the one thing that was the most important thing of all, and that was being with Jesus. See, we see Mary is literally sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it's interesting, if you know this person, Mary of Bethany, who is the sister of Lazarus and Martha, there are three accounts in which you see her at the feet of Jesus. In this story, we see her at the feet listening to his words, his teachings. We see her at the feet pleading with him because Lazarus had passed away and she was giving her woes to him. And we see another time in which she is anointing Jesus' feet with perfume and oil, wiping it with her hair. See, this is a worshiper right here. Mary is at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. And it's so interesting too, because this woman, Mary, you know, she is placing herself at the feet of a rabbi, a teacher. This is the designation or the placement of a disciple, which is interesting about this culture because women were not called by rabbis to be disciples at that time. And we see then Jesus breaking a barrier here socially in which he is saying men and women are called to be disciples. I am calling all people to myself to come to me to hear my words. And that's what he's calling and he's allowing Mary to do here. And Mary is rejoicing in this fact and she is taking this opportunity. She says, I have the opportunity to be at the feet of Jesus and to learn from him, and I'm not going to waste it. But I think what we see here then is that not that it's that Mary is doing something so amazing and that Martha's doing something completely horrible. It's this, it's that he's comparing something that is good to what is best. See, it is a good thing to serve. It's a good thing to work and to cook. And like I said, many of us are doing these things. Those are not bad things. But if we allow it to stifle our relationship with Christ, the most important thing, that's when it becomes an issue. And that's what he's pointing here with Mary. He's saying, Mary recognizes. See, Mary probably was helping Martha before Jesus got there. Now, it doesn't say in the text, but presumably, these two women who both lived in the house were probably had cleaned already and had done stuff and already started preparing things. But whenever Jesus had come, she recognized it's time to be with him now. And Martha just didn't let that click into her head. She didn't connect it and say, oh, I need to stop now what I'm doing. I need to be with Jesus. And we just have to remember the most important thing, the one thing that Jesus is saying, the good part, is you have to spend time with Jesus. And I think this is so important for all of us to hear, but it's also important for us as parents, for those who have kids. The one thing that matters, Jesus is saying in this text, is making sure that they are being with me, that they are learning from me. So I need you to think to yourselves as your own personal life, your own spiritual devotional life, you as a parent with your kids, are they seeing Jesus as the fundamental thing of their lives? Is the most important thing that they can do is learn from Jesus and be with Jesus? Because here's the thing, if they are not regularly seeing you spend time with Jesus in the Word, praying, just taking some time to just be with the Lord, if they're not seeing that, then they're probably not learning from you about it. Because think about it like this, what are they watching you and seeing you do? Work? Go out to eat? Be on social media? Use entertainment? They're seeing these things. And if you don't make it as a priority as saying this is the number one, the fundamental, the most important thing, it's being with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. Because if they're not seeing you regularly do that, they're going to think all of these things are the priority. These are the most important things. And then whenever you see someone who's doing it right, you're going to think that the person who's spending time with Jesus all the time is so odd. Have you ever seen someone who's really with Jesus all the time? You just see that they are devoted. They have a healthy prayer life. They're in the Word of God. They seem odd to the regular person. Why? Because they are putting Jesus first, like we are all as disciples called to do. But we have to make sure that we're doing it in our lives and that we're demonstrating it because people, especially our children, are going to learn from us. So Jesus is not, once again, denying the importance of other things. But he is saying the most important thing is this, Jesus. So we need to make sure that everything in our lives is centered around Jesus first. We have to set every single day at the beginning as being at the feet of Jesus in our devotional life, our prayer life. All things. Because when we see Mary, we see that she knew that she could not live by bread alone, as Matthew 4:4 says. Man cannot live by bread alone, but we need the Word of God. See, Martha was caught up with the cooking of the food that they needed to eat. But Mary recognized, I need the Word of God to be fed into my life. We also know that in John 15:5 it says that you can do nothing apart from Christ. See, we need Christ. We have to abide in Christ every single day because it says that you can do nothing Nothing that will please God, nothing that will honor or glorify God if you don't abide in Christ first. So we see Mary choosing the good part. She chose to be at the feet of Jesus. She chose to learn from Him, to worship, to be a disciple, to take in the Word of God. So she chose the good part. Are you choosing the good part? So I think many of us probably resonate more with Martha a lot of the time. But we recognize that we need to be more like Mary as we worship the Lord, as we place ourselves at the feet. And if we choose the good part, this is what I love that Jesus says at the very end of the text in verse 42. It says, Mary chose the good part. It will not be taken away from her. If you choose to put Christ first in your life, if you choose to devote yourself daily to Him and worship Him, it's not going to be taken away from you. See, your work, your job, you could be fired tomorrow. As we've seen or learned from this pandemic, there's a lot of things that we put as a higher level thing or importance, and we see that it can be taken away literally tomorrow. But the one thing in all of life that cannot be taken away is your worship to the Lord. And what's great about what Christ did on the cross is He made it possible for us to worship Him anywhere. Right? We don't need the temple anymore. Christ has made it possible where you can be at the feet of Him at any moment if you choose to submit yourself to Him and to worship Him. Jesus has made this possible, and it will not be taken away from you. But you have to choose it. It's a choice. Jesus is making Himself available. He's coming to your house. He's coming to your party if you want Him to be there. But you gotta go to Him and choose that good part. So we see then, Martha was distracted. Mary chose the good part. But the final thing that I want to point us to is this, is that disciples must be balanced. See, I've already mentioned slightly how we don't want to just say that Martha was just this horrible person. Because sometimes it can be like, we don't want to be like Martha, we just want to be like Mary. I think that there's a more balanced approach here, in which work and worship are both vitally important for a disciple. See, we do want to work hard and dedicated. We want to serve people, right? What did Jesus come to do? He came to serve. Jesus isn't against serving or working hard. We want to have the hands and the effort of Martha in our lives. But we don't want to allow it to distract from the worship and the heart of what we see through Mary. See, we want to have both. We want to have the hands of Martha and we want to have the heart of Mary. But it requires balance. And if you ever, anyone ever been on like a seesaw before? And you know where you guys are going back and forth on it? Has anyone ever stood in the middle of it where there's nobody on either side? You're just on the middle? You notice if you stand right in the middle, you stay very balanced. But the minute you just start to take even a few inches one way or the other, you'll notice a steep decline or incline, right? There's a huge difference that happens in just a little bit. That's the same thing with our spiritual life. If we continue to just add a little bit more busyness, a little more distractions, we just get rid of a little bit more devotion time with the Lord, you can start to find yourself getting more and more and more unbalanced. And that's why it's so important that we take both of these very seriously, how we are called to work for the Lord and how we are called to worship Him through it. But we do want to be clear here is that busyness does not equate to a relationship with Christ. So you can be busy for the Lord and not know Him. So you can be helping with different things in the church. You can be coming on Sunday and Wednesday and maybe some of the men's and women's groups, which I hope you will take part in. But you can be there and still not be in a relationship with Christ. See, we saw there was this divide, this separation between Martha and Jesus. Even though she was working and serving for Him, there was this separation. We want to make sure that when we come and when we are doing these things, we are doing it because we have this heart and we have this relationship with Jesus. But we also don't want to use sitting with Christ as an excuse never to serve. See, we are called. A demonstration of you being someone who has been sitting with Christ will lead you to be someone that will get up and go serve. I think of it like this. As you continue to be with Christ, you devote yourself, you spend time with Him. It's like going to the gas station for your car. When you go to the car or the gas station, what do? You fill it with gas. And then when you fill it with gas, you are able to what? Go out and it runs, right? Same with our spiritual lives. If you keep driving and you never go to the gas station, your car is going to putter out. Same with your spiritual life. If you aren't regularly every day setting it back in Christ and saying, Lord, I want to come to you humbly at the feet of you. I want to worship you. I want to abide in you. I want to be filled by you in your spirit. Then, therefore, you can go and actively and effectively serve others and love others. But you have to start with Christ first, because He is the priority. Nothing else. Not your families, not your work, not your extracurriculars, nothing else. Jesus is the most important thing. And if you do this, if you put Jesus at the beginning as the priority, you will see the benefits as you work and serve. So we want to make sure that we then have work and worship, but we do it with balance. So then I have this question then. Are you someone today who is spiritually balanced? As you're hearing the story, are you recognizing the issues that Martha had? Do you understand? And are you recognizing the busyness or maybe the distractions that are maybe starting to pop up in your own life? Are you ready to eliminate some of those distractions? Be more devoted to Christ? Because here's the thing. We have this opportunity now to come to the Lord's table. And if you have the elements and you would like to prepare those. What's wonderful about communion is it reminds us what Christ did on the cross. Jesus Christ came to the earth. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. So that if you turn from your sins and if you place your faith in Him, worship Him, you will be saved and in a right relationship with God. But then we also remember that Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive today. He is a living hope, as we sang earlier. And now, as we come to the Lord's table, we remember the sacrifice. We remember that He made us a way so that we could come to Him. And now we know that He is alive and He is able to receive us. So just like Mary and Martha had the opportunity to come to the feet of Jesus, when we commune together, we are coming to the feet of Jesus. He is alive. He is present in this very moment with us. So as we partake together, you are having an encounter with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to hear this story of Mary and Martha, who are disciples who love you, Lord. And we learn from their mistakes and we learn from their love for you. And now, Father, as we come to remember the great sacrifice that you made on the cross so that we could come to you, that we could come and worship you in spirit and truth, be at your feet now and to receive the blessings that you have for us, Lord. I pray that you would bless these elements as we remember you and rejoice in all that you have done for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.